Let's open with a word of prayer this morning, and then we're going to jump right into our lesson. Let's pray together. Our Father, we begin this morning by just calming ourselves. So many plates are spinning, especially at this time of year. And we want to just enjoy being in your word together this morning. We ask you to speak to us. We ask you to take your word and use it in our lives to build us up, to make us effective for your kingdom. Father, use it to bring peace and calmness into our souls. And Father, we tell you this morning, we love being your children. We want to pray for this precious family that's in Hazelhurst, that's grieving the loss of such a tragic loss. How do you face that unless you know that you are on the throne and you are sovereign? And God, I pray that somehow you will break through and the gospel will be powerful in this situation. We pray for the family that Aaron mentioned as they grieve the loss of their loved one. And Father, there are many more requests on our hearts this morning. You know those requests. And so, Father, I pray that we would be more effective prayers, and I pray that you'll take this lesson to use it in our lives for that very purpose. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so this morning, I'm going to revisit our study on prayer. And we're going to be looking at two verses this morning. There are two verses that have just recently come to my attention, and I'm just so excited to teach them to you. And this is a lesson that's very practical. This is a lesson you can take home, and you can use this lesson. I want to start with a verse out of James 5:16. It's on your handout. And James tells us this, that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. The effective prayer. Yes, we pray, but look, are our prayers effective? How can we be women who pray more effectively? That's what we're looking at this morning. What do we pray for when we go to pray? Are we just praying for surface things? Yeah, we can pray for surface things. But what is the most effective way for us to pray for our worlds? And that's what we're going to look at this morning. I want to start this morning with a story out of Isaiah 38. And I put that reference on your handout because I want you to read it next week, just in your quiet time. It's a story about a king of Israel. It's a king you've probably heard of. His name was Hezekiah. Have you heard of him? He was a good king. And Hezekiah got sick. And Isaiah was a prophet in Israel during the time that Hezekiah was a king. And so God told Isaiah, go to Hezekiah and tell him to get his house in order, that he was going to die. This sickness was going to result in his death. Now that's a hard thing to have to go tell somebody. So Hezekiah received Isaiah, and Isaiah had to tell him the bad news. Hezekiah, you're going to die. I want you to get your house in order. And so what happened? Hezekiah, after he received the news he would not recover, Isaiah was leaving. He turned to the wall and he wept bitterly. He did not want to die. And he began to pray. Remember, Lord, he said. Remember, Lord, I beg you to remember. Remember how in my life I've walked before you in truth. I've walked before you with a whole heart. I've done what is right in your sight. He was crying out to God. And he was weeping before God. And Isaiah hadn't even gotten out of the house, and God stopped him, and God spoke to him and said, go back to Hezekiah and tell him, this is what the Lord God your father David says, Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. I will heal you. I'm going to add 15 years to your life. And I will also deliver you from your enemy, the king of Assyria. I think that's an amazing prayer story. God had told him, you're going to die. And Hezekiah prayed, and what happened? God changed his mind. The prophet's own account makes it very plain that had the king not prayed, he would have died. Now, I'm just starting off with that story because would you agree with me that prayer is powerful? We all know that is truth, don't we? Would you agree with me prayer really makes a difference? It certainly did in Hezekiah's life, didn't it? Prayer is something that moves God, and that's what we've been studying these last few weeks. Now, let's start with just a few high points of what we have seen so far in our study. We talked about, first of all, answered this question, Teresa, who is it who has access to God in prayer? Who can actually pray to God? Who is given this amazing privilege? Is it just for a certain few? No, it's not. It's for anyone who is born again. It is for anyone who has the Spirit of God living in him. When do you receive that Spirit? Well, you receive it at the point of salvation. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved right in, and he began to give you confidence in your soul that you're a daughter of God. And you know what daughters do? They go to their daddies and they say, Daddy, I need this. Daddy, help me here. Daddy, can you come to my rescue? And the Holy Spirit gives us the confidence that we're the daughters of God and that we can cry out to him. We started our study with the parable out of Luke 11. I love that story. It's a very simple parable, a very simple little story about a man who has an unexpected guest show up at midnight without notice. He doesn't have any bread to feed his friends. He needs like 3 slices of bread. And so because he doesn't have any, he just goes right out at midnight to his neighbor's house and starts banging on the door. Wake up, wake up, give me 3 pieces of bread. And the man says, you are out of your mind, you're crazy. Leave, I'm asleep, my children are asleep. Then they barred all the doors. Going to bed at night was quite a thing in that day. But because he wouldn't stop, and he kept persisting, and he kept banging on the door, he finally got up, and he gave the man what he needed. It was an insignificant thing. But Jesus was teaching a lesson in this very simple story, to be persistent in prayer. This is how you are to pray. And then he kind of wrapped it up with telling them this. Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. He's giving you permission, listen, as a daughter of God, to enter God's very throne room and bang on the door for insignificant things, for little things, for anything, for everything. We also discussed in that lesson that even though God is sovereign, even though God knows the beginning from the end, even though his purposes will stand, even though no one can thwart his plans, he doesn't want that to dampen your prayer life. Oh, well, God's sovereign. He's going to do what he's going to do. Why should I even pray? It's a mystery, and I can't really explain it. But somehow God uses our prayers as the means of bringing his plan on earth. We are to be fervent in our praying. We're not to be indifferent. Then we went to another parable in our next lesson, it was about a little widow who had been wronged. And so she came to a very unrighteous judge, and she began to demand that he take action and right the wrongs for her. And that was a very unrighteous judge. He did not have regard for her at all, but because she absolutely worried him to pieces, she would not go away. She was wailing and making such a stink. She was so tenacious in her demands, he finally got up and did for her what she needed done. And in that parable, we saw the same thing, kind of like our other parable. We can pray boldly. We can pray tenaciously. And we also said in that little parable, there was another hidden thing that we are to be praying and looking for the Lord's return to. That thought was in the context around that parable. And then we spent 2 weeks looking at the little book, Praying the Bible. And I have a few over here if you did not get one. And there we learned that we are to let the Bible be our springboard for prayer. And we saw that the Psalms were especially suited to take us to the very throne room of God. They were written, they were inspired by God to give us the words that we are to give back to God. It was actually the Songbook of Israel. And I liked how he says in his book, there are words for every sigh of the soul in the Psalms. Every doctrine is covered in the Psalms. And I really, really hope you are using the Psalms in your own personal prayer time. And now we come to our lesson this morning. And we're going to be looking at this question. Well, Teresa, what exactly should we be praying for in the lives of those we love, in the lives of those who are on our prayer list? I mean, when you boil it all down, as we're praying for ourselves, as we're praying for our families, as we're praying for the people in our world and the people we love, and as we're praying for our church, what exactly is it that we should be praying and asking God for? And that's what we're going to look at today. I'm not going to answer it fully, but I'm going to give you something to really think about. I mean, if I'm really going to set aside a time to invest in developing my prayer life, and I hope you're doing that, what are the kinds of things I should be saying and asking for in my prayer? And we're going to go to 2 Thessalonians 1, and we're going to let Paul help us know how it is we're going to need to pray. These two little verses we're looking at today are absolutely power-packed, and they're going to help us in our own prayer life. Now, I hope you don't lose this handout. I hope you refer back to it. I hope you memorize the three things we're going to look at that are wonderful skeleton for praying the Bible for people in your world. So let's start with verse 11. To this end, Paul says, also we pray for you always. Now, Paul was just an amazing servant of God. You know that. I mean, he's my hero. I think I spend more time with Paul than I do with Bill, because I'm always studying, and he wrote most of the New Testament. He was absolutely consumed with the purposes of God. He was starting churches, developing churches, establishing the gospel in the very first century. He was on the cutting edge of the advance of the gospel and the growth of the church and the establishing of the church. Do you ever wonder, how did he do all that he did? Well, I'll tell you how. He had a strong faith in God. He believed God. And here's his resource. He prayed. That's how he did what he did. Prayer was his resource. And I'm just going to say to you this morning, sisters, listen to me. We have the very same resource. Strong faith in God, prayer. How are you going to impact your world?
Same two things. No, I'm not Paul, but you know what? I'm Teresa. And God's put me in my world, and I have an influence. I want that influence to grow, don't you? So he's writing this little church in Thessalonica, and he says in verse 11, to this end, we always pray for you. Now, you know, when Paul prayed, he knew the stuff to pray for. And that's what we're going to see this morning. What's the stuff we need to be praying in the lives of the people in our prayer list? Now notice, go back to that phrase. How often did he pray for them? How often? Always. Are there people on your list? We said this in one of our lessons. Our lists don't really change, do they? We're always praying for those in our world. Sometimes new people come to our list. But basically, we got that same list, and we're always praying about those things. So circle that word always, because I like that word. He came to God every day in prayer. He's praying for all the churches that he started, all the leaders of those churches, all of those people that are his disciples and under him, and they're under shepherds, and he's loving them, and he's praying for them, and his prayers are powerful, and your prayers could be powerful too. Whatever he wanted for the Thessalonian church, he knew he could only obtain it through prayer. That's because God's the only one who can do what needed to be done. He didn't turn to some kind of program. Well, let's set up some programs. He didn't set up programs. He prayed. He turned to God in prayer. So let's write down some things. Obviously, first of all, put this. He prayed for them. We're learning from Paul this morning. He prayed for them. And then write this. He prayed for them always. Always. And then I want you to write this. He prayed for them. When he prayed for them, as he prayed for them, he had a goal in mind. A goal in mind. Because look, he says, now to this end, I'm going to pray. For this reason, I'm going to pray. For this purpose, I'm going to pray. He had a purpose. So write this down. His prayers were specific. They were specific. They were direct. They were pointed. They were not just some generic, flowery, little, general kind of praying. He was very direct and specific. So as he opens this letter, he's telling them that I'm praying for you. And this actually isn't a prayer, but it's a prayer report. It's like if I were to say to you this morning, girls, I really pray for you. Let me tell you how I pray for you. I pray one, I pray two, and I pray three. And that's what he's going to do. He's giving them a little prayer report. So this morning, I want to suggest we can take these verses. We can use Paul's words in our own prayer. And we can have confidence we're praying God's will. We're praying Bible words. We're praying inspired words. He's modeling for us how to pray. We can pray the right stuff. That's what I'm saying this morning. So Paul says to these people in Thessalonica, look, I'm praying to God on your behalf, and I'm praying for three things. And these three things are the right stuff that you and I should be praying for in our own lives and the lives of those on our list. Now, let's see what those three things are. You ready? Are you curious? I am. Let's go back to verse 11. Here's the first one, and write it down. I'm praying. This is what I pray for you, Thessalonians. I'm praying that our God will count you worthy of your calling. So write that down. I'm praying that our God may count you worthy of your calling. Let's expand that a little bit. Teresa, what is that saying? Well, let's write some things down. Well, he's praying this. I'm praying that God will make you worthy. Write that down. I'm praying that God will make you worthy. That God will enable you to deserve the name you bear, the name of Jesus. I mean, if you're going to go around and you're going to say you're a Christian and you belong to Christ and you're His and He is yours, then you ought to deserve that title. Now look at that little term, your calling. What is that talking about? Well, that is referring to your salvation. That's when you were called. It is used for that time when God saved you. He called you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. You've been called to bear the name Christian, to be identified as one of God's people, God's very own dear child. And so He says, look, there you are. You're living in an ungodly culture. You're bearing the name of Christian. I'm praying that you're worthy of your calling. I'm praying that you're living in a way that deserves to bear that name. Now, for sure, we all know that none of us are worthy of salvation, right? Not a one of us. And so I say, aren't you glad that God saves those who are not worthy? I'm so thankful. I was so unworthy of salvation, but by God's grace, God saves the unworthy, and then He makes them worthy. So put that on your handout. It's all by God's grace. Now, I'm speaking there in that statement about your position before God. When God saved you positionally, He placed you in Christ. You weren't perfect yet, were you? But in Christ, you were worthy. In Christ, you are counted worthy. But what Paul is praying for here is a practical thing. Yes, positionally, you're in Christ and you're worthy. But I'm praying that God will make you worthy practically. So write that down. I want you to be worthy in your practice. I want God to grow you to be even more deserving to bear His name. I mean, you're already worthy in your position, but I'm praying that you're going to be growing in regards to your worthiness in your practice. By the way, this is just another work of the Holy Spirit in us. He's in us. He helps us to cry, Abba, Father. But listen, He also stimulates us. He moves us in our lives to be sanctified. That word just means made holy. He wants your life even more and more and more holy. You know, I can look back, way back, and you know what God is doing? Look, I'm not what I should be yet, but thank God I'm not what I was. I've been growing in regards to my salvation, more practically in my living. I know this is certainly something that I want to pray for the lives of those who are on my prayer list. For example, I'm praying for my children. I'm praying for my grandchildren. They always kind of end up first in my prayers. They're my heart. They're your heart, right? And I'm praying for my Sunday school class that I teach. Lord, I pray that they would grow in holiness. I pray that they would grow in maturity. I pray that they may never, even though they're saved, that they may never bring reproach against the name of Christ. You're bearing the name of Christ. Can you fall? Can you bring reproach? Oh, yes. You can make big mistakes. God, I'm praying they don't do that. I'm praying, God, they would not dishonor you. I'm praying, God, that they'll live a disciplined life. I'm praying, God, that they will walk in a manner worthy of the name that they bear. We see this perfectly in Ephesians 4. Look at it on your handout. Verse 1 says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, I'm begging you, I'm entreating you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. And then he defines that walk. Look what it looks like. With all humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's what it looks like to walk worthy. Go to Philippians. We see a little more insight there. Paul says there, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Well, what would that look like, Teresa? Well, look at it. Standing firm in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Never alarmed by your opponents, suffering willingly. That's what a worthy walk looks like. A worthy life, a worthy walk, it's a life which pleases the Lord in all respects. That's what I want. That's what I want for my children. That's what I want for my grandchildren. That's what I want for me. That's what I want for my Sunday school class. That's what I want for my church. God, may we walk worthy. And that would mean with humility, and we're willing to suffer, and we want to have unity, and we want to love one another, and we want to have a forbearing spirit, and we want to be gentle. We want to be patient. This is just a comprehensive request. Is this something you're interested in praying for your children and your family and your prayer list? Take this home and pray this in your prayer time. Let's go to the second request. Go back to verse 11. And he says he's going to add the next request. Here it is. I want you to fulfill every desire for goodness. Oh my goodness, this is a wonderful prayer request. He's praying that God would just give them fulfillment. And that word fulfillment there, listen, write it down. It means to accomplish. To accomplish. He's saying this. God, would you please accomplish in their lives everything that they desire when what they desire is good by your definition? God, just fulfill their every longing for what is good. Where do you find what is good? Well, do you remember that Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler? And the rich young ruler said, good teacher. And Jesus said, no, there's only one good. And that's God. He's the only one good. He was trying to get the rich young ruler to see he was God. So what is Paul praying? He's saying this, Lord, I want them to know satisfying life, a fulfillment in life. Do you want that for your children and your grandchildren and your church and yourself? Lord, I want their prayers to be answered. God, I want their dreams to come true. God, I want their desires to be fulfilled. I want their longings to be realized, but only if what they're hoping and desiring and longing for is good according to your definition of good. The Psalms can give us some insight into this kind of praying. Let's go to a few. Look at Psalm 21, verses 2 through 3. And there the psalmist says, you have given him his heart's desire, and you have not withheld the request of his lips. And then he says, Selah, for you meet him with the blessing of good things. Oh God, you gave him what he wanted. You gave him what he asked for. You did it because what he asked for was good. It was good according to your definition of good. Look at Psalm 37, verse 4. This is a verse we all know. I love this verse. There the psalmist says, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Wait a minute, Teresa. Are you telling me God's going to give me everything my heart desires? Well, yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm telling you this morning. Did you know that he will? He will, but there is a catch here. He will if your heart is delighting in him. And the point is, if you are delighting in him, then your desires will be the same as his desires when he's first in your heart And then when you pray, he'll give you what you're praying for because it will be consistent with his desires. So as you're delighting in the Lord, your longing will be for goodness, and God's going to fulfill your longing. Isn't that good? Paul is praying, God, just give them everything their heart desires when their heart desires what is good by your definition. What a wonderful thing to pray. Ladies, this is a fulfilled life. This is a person who has a fulfilled life. Can I just say, God is not reluctant to make you happy, to satisfy you, to bring you fulfillment. He's not some kind of cosmic killjoy. He wants to give us the desires of our hearts when we go to him in prayer. And that's as long as you ask for the desire that you've learned is a righteous desire according to his mind and his will. Let's go one more place. Go to Psalm 145:16. That says that God opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Well, that's God. That's God right there. God's generous. God is gracious. God longs to give his children what they're longing for. But listen to me. He requires us to have holy longings. And he knows that when he does give us the longings of our heart, the righteous longings of our heart, what do we do in response? You get your desires fulfilled. What does it make you want to do? Absolutely, worship. It makes you want to sing. Well, that's exactly what Psalm 90:14 says. Go there. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness. Look at it. That we may sing for joy and be glad all the days of our lives. So if you get your prayers answered, then listen, you know the mind of God and you know the heart of God and you pray for what is good by his definition. He'll give it to you. And then you will turn right around and give him back great praise, and your heart will be full of joy. Real quickly, the third request. Let's just go back to verse 11. And we're going to pray that you will fulfill the work of faith with power. Now let's review. Paul prays, first of all, look at me, that they will be a worthy people. And then he says, and I pray that they will be a fulfilled people, satisfied. And now, thirdly, I'm going to pray that they'll be a powerful people. True saving faith is always going to produce works. And we see that in James 2. Faith without works is what? It's dead. Real faith works out in works. Now, there are things, these are the things that we should be praying for ourselves, for our husbands, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our friends, for the people we love, for our church. Now, why does he tell us to pray this way? The answer comes in verse 12, and we're almost done. Look at verse 12. I'm praying this way, he says, so that the name of our Lord Jesus will be glorified in you. That's the bottom line. And you in him. Now here's the reason for his prayer. It's not really for you that I'm praying this. It's for the Lord. And so write this down. It's for his glory. When you live this way, God is glorified. You see, as you and I are living our lives, and this is why it grieves me so much when I mess up, when I say things I shouldn't say, when I do things I shouldn't do. It breaks my heart. You know why? People know I'm standing for Jesus. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I teach Thursday morning Bible study. Why, she's bearing the name of Christ. And when I mess up, it grieves my heart. You see, God's reputation, it's on the line. As you and I are living our lives every day. And Paul is saying, oh, I want you to bring glory to God in the way that you're living. I'm praying that you do this, you do this, and you do this, all so that you'll bring glory to God. And it's reciprocal. Go back to the verse. Because it says, when we honor Christ, what does he do? He turns right around and he honors us. So write that on your handout. And then he closes this last verse, verse 12, by saying, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus. It's all by God's grace. These people didn't deserve to be made worthy. They didn't deserve to have their desires fulfilled. They certainly don't deserve to serve God with great power. But I'm praying and I'm asking you to do it anyway, and I'm asking you to do it because of your amazing, matchless, wonderful grace that you give. So ladies, this is the right stuff to pray for. I'm giving you three things that are the right stuff. You can take this handout home, get up in your prayer time, and pray these things. And you're praying the right stuff. You're praying deep things. You're not just praying these little surface. Lord, I pray they're happy. Lord, I pray you give them what they want. No, I'm going to go deep. I'm going to pray that they'll walk worthy. I'm going to pray that they'll live a life fulfilled with every desire for goodness. And I'm going to pray that they'll serve you with power. So take these verses to the prayer closet with you. The whole choir is leaving. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this lesson this morning. This is a lesson that has good. Something we can really bite into. Something so practical. We can just take these three requests, incorporate them into our prayer as we're praying also for those in our world, because we want these same three things. We want them for ourselves, and we want them for those we love. We want, Father, for you to move in amazing ways. And we know we're so unworthy of it. It's all by your grace. But somehow, God, by your grace, you do these things in us, and then we bring you great glory. I pray you will take this lesson, and that we just won't throw the handout away, but that we'll get it out and we'll use it, that we'll think about these verses, and that they will become part of our prayer time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to church.